Welcome back to Eichenbaum Acorns. I am very, very happy to be recording another episode here. As our regular listeners know, this program is not about data. It's not about treatment patterns. It's not about pipeline, even though sometimes those things come up. This program, Eichenbaum Acorns, is about people, the people that make Retina wonderful, the people that we look forward to seeing, and the people that help innovate and move things forward. I have one of my favorite of those people on the program today, somebody I have known for over 20 years. Over 20 years. I have Dr. Caroline Baumal, my dear friend, recently ex-CMO of Apellis, one of my mentors, one of my favorite mentors, an incredible surgeon and an advocate for women in retina ever since I've known her. Caroline, welcome to Eichenbaum Acorns.
David, it's great to be here. I know you wanted to say your favorite, but I'll forgive you for saying one of my favorites.
Okay, let's talk about you. Let's talk about what you've had an amazing career. You've done a lot of wonderful things. You had incredible training. You spent a lot of your career as an academic in Boston. You worked with industry in an increasing capacity until you had an executive role at Apellis, launched the first complement modulating FDA approved drug for geographic atrophy. And now that Apellis is a Biogen company, you're doing something different. Let's talk about the beginning. What was it like, Caroline, to come up through training to be a student in Canada and then a fellow at Wills? Talk to me about some of that.
Well, David, I'm going to tell you when you describe a little bit of what I've done, I feel like I'm just getting started, actually. And that was really solidified by my time at Apellis. But I mean, I started my career in Canada. I'm from Toronto and I did training my undergraduate at McGill. Then I did my residency and medical school in Toronto. And I came to the US for 1 year to do a fellowship in medical retina and lasers with Tufts New England Eye Center. And, I was so fortunate because at that time, the prototype OCT was being developed. And we had this machine in the clinic that, sometimes we'd get a picture, other times they'd have to call the engineers or we'd have to go up with the screwdriver to fix the machine or fix the laser. But we were getting these pictures, cross-sectional pictures of the retina, and the thought at that time was to have imaging that would give an analogous image to retinal biopsy, right, without having to take tissue.
Did you
And
know you were unlocking something amazing and like field altering at that time? Or was it kind of like a novel toy in your mind when you were, at the start of your career?
no, we knew. Like, we knew this was going to change the field of retina, but I don't think everyone around us knew. And certainly there were courses early in the beginning of OCT commercialization that were called, "Is OCT meaningful for retina physicians?" It wasn't clear. And really, the technology had to catch up to give better images. And of course, anti-VEGF therapy and OCT really went hand in hand. That made OCT explode. But it was an amazing time, and I was so fortunate. I worked at Tufts, and then I decided that I really missed operating, and I went to Wills Eye Hospital. At that time, there were only two retina fellows, and there were 18 attendings. So it was a lot of a great experience, and I think that I had a really unique fellowship experience by doing those
Who were
three.
your who were give me your top three most who were your top three favorite?
Well, mentorship and teaching is very important to me. And what I would say to that is that when I look back at my career, some of the most maybe stressful attendings or stressful experiences in the OR taught me the most out of anything. Actually, because we're all going to have times in the OR where we encounter something new or unexpected. And those people in your training, help pressure cook you and get you prepared for those things. So it's really hard for me to say that. I will say I worked, extensively and for many years after with Jay Duker, and I worked with Bill Tasman. We did lots of pediatric and retina and ROP and Dr. Benson and Carl Regillo. But I mean, everyone at Wills and New England Eye Center was meaningful for my career, whether it was good or bad.
Two things that I saw reflecting on what you mentioned. When I came on as a fellow at Tufts, it continued to be one of the cutting edge facilities for OCT. We had, when I was a fellow, the high resolution OCT machine and time domain commercially. So the resolution that we were experimenting with is now pretty much the commercial resolution of the spectral domain machine. So it was amazing to see that continue to evolve. And as a surgeon, that was a huge part of your career. So you operated with me a lot in my training. In my training, I did a lot of work with you. And then after I graduated from Tufts, you continued to operate even more. I think at one point in the recent past, you were probably the busiest surgeon at the New England Medical Center. And you still have a passion for surgery, it sounds like, even though there's been a break when you were CMO for Apellis, I bet the surgery volume was lower.
Well, I was really fortunate that I was able to do it all. I mean, working for a company and being an executive is really, I mean, I will say a 24/7 job. And luckily, people have told me that I have boundless energy, which is a requirement for that, I think. So I was able to continue to see patients and do some surgery, although maybe not at the level before, but I was able to keep my hands in the game. And I had a very big referral practice, especially for diabetic retinopathy surgery and using the 27 gauge vitrector for that. So, that we did a lot of pediatric retina. Fortunately, we don't have to do much surgery anymore for ROP, but we did do a lot of pediatric retina. It makes you patient. So I really feel like I'm still like at the beginning of my career in so many ways. And you know that I recently transitioned. I'm part of the Mass General Brigham Community Physicians and opened a small practice as well as part of that, which has been a lot of fun. And David, I have learned so much. I'm part of a many like new practitioners or solo practitioner groups. And there's always stuff to learn in this field. It is
That's the
very
great thing. You're touching on something very important for our listeners, especially our younger listeners, to hear. This is Caroline Baumal, who's one of the retinal greats we have, and her career has taken this circuitous route from clinical work to imaging development to teaching to pharmaceutical involvement and engagement and executive role, and now back to clinical work. It's a circuitous path, and it's amazing in our career, you can do a lot of different things. What would you advise a young doctor listening to this, perhaps on the way to their clinic as a fellow or on the way to their first job as an employee, about how to keep their career interesting and exciting for the next 40 years, let's say?
Well, first of all, if you're on your way to you're probably listening in your car, which is where I find many retina physicians do their work or they're listening. So I would say number one, don't forget that you are a retina doctor, you are skilled and you are trained, and there are so many things you can do. So, just remember that, like the little things, like you've got it, you can figure it out. But if you can't, there are so many people that you can ask. That's number one. And the other thing is, I'd say that what I've really learned is that, I've been able to do so many different things while still actually having my clinical practice. And of course, it helps that, I had a very established practice. But there's so many things. Like, I'm still doing research and I'm still doing imaging research with our collaboration with MIT. Apellis was acquired by Biogen, which is a great thing for patients and physicians. And now I'm doing consulting for other places, and you can consult for biotech. We have so much AI that's coming up. There's always investors, there's imaging companies. All of these people want to learn from your clinical experience. So I think you have a wealth of knowledge to add. And then the last thing is, of course, remember that you can always tailor your life and it can change. There might be times when you want to have more time for yourself, or there might be times where you want to do more things externally. And that's okay. Just try to think about what will best serve you at that time in your life.
And that was a hugely eye-opening thing for me. When I was your fellow, I had never been in an environment in my training where the attendings and the mentors did so many different things. And that was something that was tremendously directional for my career. I've always enjoyed the ability to do a lot of different things. And I agree with you that the key to keeping it exciting and not burning out, and you're talking about the opposite of burning out. You feel like you're at the beginning of your career after this full career, is doing all this different stuff with people that you like to do it with. And it's nice to see everyone collaborating to make something wonderful. Towards the end of our time, tell me, since now you're still boundlessly energetic and back at the beginning of something new, what do the next 5 years look like for you, Caroline? What do you aspire them to look like? What would you like to do?
I mean, I will say I was really inspired by working at Apellis. It was not just a geographic atrophy company, but it was also, there were three systemic indications, two in renal diseases and one in a hematology indication. So we still are physicians. We do know more than the eye. It will all come back if you ever need to know it. And, you know, I was really inspired by the pipeline, by the new ideas that people had, and it's a great way to help a wide variety of patients. Of course, we help people in our office, and you know, we do our best for them, but I really liked working at a company, so I will probably in some way, you know, continue to consult, which I've been doing, and do things like that. And I really think also that all the AI applications are going to open up some new areas in retina that we haven't even thought of yet, right? We're just going to have home OCT. We're going to have, you know, ways that we can bring technology into our practices that are going to be unique. And I'm working a lot on efficiency in my practice, David. I'm actually have the OCT in the tech room. And the patients,
Even better.
yep, the patients have their vision done, vision chart, and the OCT. So I'm trying to make things more efficient so patients don't have to move around very much. So they will have a better experience. And I think that's something like if we have a higher.
It's a great idea. Well, listen, it's a pleasure. It's always fun to talk with you. We always have the best conversations. All right. Well, thank you for coming on Eichenbaum Acorns.
Well, you too. Thank you so much for having me. Bye, David.